And good afternoon to you. It's Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman. Joseph Cooper is away. Well, today we visit with Brad Willis. He's a former NBC News war correspondent who reported from the Middle East, Asia, Africa, Latin America, and beyond. He's the recipient of the prestigious Alfred I. DuPont Award. It's considered the broadcast equivalent of the Pulitzer Prize for his work inside Afghanistan during the Soviet occupation. He's also an author. And today he goes by the name Bava Ram. He's survived numerous adversities, both medical and spiritual, and has written Warrior Pose, a war correspondent's memoir, How Yoga Literally Saved My Life. And Bava Ram joins us via Skype from Coronado, California. And welcome to you.
Hello, Bonnie. It's good to be with you. I used to live in Miami years ago when I started with NBC Network News. So hello to everyone out there on the East Coast.
That's right. You were based in Miami for a time.
Yeah, I was.
Well, and I am going to address you. I assume you prefer to be called Bava Ram.
Well, anything works for me, whatever you're comfortable with, but that's a name I use mostly now, which we might even discuss in a little bit.
Yes, I'm sure we will. Well, it's a remarkable story, so I would like to begin with a look back at your career with NBC, if you would. Tell us about it and what you were like at that time.
Well, I came of age in the 1960s, and I was deeply affected by the Vietnam War, the civil rights movement, and the women's movement. And for a while in my, what I'd call my reckless youth, I felt very disenfranchised. After graduating from college and graduate school, by sheer happenstance, I ended up getting a job at a local TV station in Northern California, one of the smallest television markets in the country. And it immediately identified who I was. Suddenly, I had a voice when I had felt for so long that I didn't have a voice. And I was drawn to exposing white-collar crime, environmental degradation, political corruption, and so forth. And I was so consumed by this job that it's just about all I did. I had a little mantra, I'm going to work longer and harder than anybody else, because I didn't think I was smarter than anybody else in a highly competitive business. And That's what I set out to do. I was very type A, and it really served me well for quite a long time. I worked my way up through larger and larger markets across the country, and ultimately with the network, having a life that I never dreamed would have been possible given my middle-class background and my state college education. And I was on a rocket that suddenly, when I least expected it, crashed hard.
Now, at the time, before we'll talk about the injury, but before that, did you feel satisfied in your career? I mean, did you feel at peace and satisfied?
I was as happy as could possibly be. I would have worked for free, although I'm glad I didn't let my employers know that. Right. Again, it gave my life a rich sense of meaning, like I was contributing something to the world. And sometimes I would do a report, an expose, and a white-collar criminal or someone politically corrupt would resign from office or go to jail. And it felt very, very satisfying that, you know, in my own humble way, I suppose, I was carrying a banner for those things that I believed in, that we really should have justice and equality in the world.
So you were you felt like you were contributing.
I did feel that way.
So then you had this incredible injury. So you, at the time, you were inside Afghanistan with the Mujahideen freedom fighters. It was during the Soviet occupation, and you decided to take some R&R in the Bahamas. First, tell us about the being with the Mujahideen in Afghanistan.
Well, that was fascinating. That's when they were considered the good guys. They're now the Taliban, of course, but they were an American ally because they were fighting the Soviets. And very, very rugged terrain, very, very tough war. I was deeply touched when I went down from the mountains and left the freedom fighters and went into the refugee camps, the world's largest refugee crisis at the time, some 5 million Afghans on desolate border with Pakistan and Iran in some of the most horrid conditions. And I really focused on the children. My book, Warrior Pose, starts with this little boy named Mahmoud that I met burned with napalm all over his body on his hospital bed in this dank, terrible refugee hospital. And As a result of the reports, we were able to airlift a number of these children back to New England for medical treatment of burns, missing limbs, shrapnel in their faces, eye surgery, and so forth. And that's when the award came. I felt a little uncomfortable getting an award for documenting the suffering of these people. Mm. Although I was type A and going to work longer and harder than anybody else, I took that rare vacation. And ironically, it was down in the tropics in paradise on a little island with no automobiles, only about 200 people, that the accident happened. The very last night, a big storm came up and I was battening down storm windows and just getting the last one. I twisted the handles. They were corroded. They broke. And I fell off a ledge about 12 feet to the base of my spine. Knocked the wind out of myself so hard, I thought I might die not being able to breathe in. And the next morning, I woke up and was in scorching pain in my lower back and down my legs. But that type A person took over, and I got up, and I kept going for another 7 years with a deep, dark secret. I was hiding that pain because I really felt like if I lose my seat on this rocket ship that I'm on of my career, there's 1,000 people as well qualified as me, if not better, waiting to take that seat, and I would lose it. I would lose my identity forever. So the way that I coped was I started chewing painkillers and muscle relaxers and drinking a little more heavily every night. And I pushed on through El Salvador and Nicaragua and apartheid in Africa, drug wars, cocaine wars in South America, the front lines of all the fighting in the Persian Gulf War, and was awarded after that by NBC News. I was in charge of all Asia living in Hong Kong.
And this
is... And so my career, again, is just soaring, but my emotional and physical health is plummeting into an abyss. And then finally, 7 years into this scorching pain, I was in the Philippines covering a story, and I leaned over to look more closely at some videotape for my report with Tom Brokaw on the nightly news that night. And a cracked vertebra in my back from that fall 7 years earlier split wider open and started to impinge on my spinal cord. And I basically blacked out. And that was the beginning of the end for me.
Now, I'm just, you know, just as a point of interest, I guess, for those 7 years that you were drinking and addicted basically to this pain medication, how did you function for those 7 years in doing all this?
I think I functioned on adrenaline, fear of losing my career, and also the excitement of being in all these places around the world where momentous things were happening, and I was young and in my prime, and I just gritted my teeth and I toughed it, and I reminded myself of that little boy in that refugee camp with napalm burns all over his body and other children that I had seen in unbelievable suffering, and said, get over yourself, Brad. Well, let's just move forward. Tomorrow you get better. Tomorrow you get better. But that tomorrow didn't come.
You know, it's interesting. We did a program on chronic pain just last week and the stigma associated with those in chronic pain, and that it showed that it's actually, you know, a lot of people are so afraid to admit it. I mean, in your case, you had your career as well, but because of it being a sign of weakness, you know, that just to buck up and disregard the pain that you're in.
I think that's part of it. And chronic pain really changes you too. It fills you with fear and anger and depression and rage. It changes your personality. You don't notice it because the change is so slow. But with all the drugs and alcohol and the pain, I became more and more negative, more and more difficult to be around. Just needed things to go exactly my way because I was in so much pain that I couldn't handle, you know, any adversity. I just needed to get the story done, get it on the air, collapse, and then go find the next story.
Okay, so we're coming to a break, but before we go to that break and hear about your surgery, you said that being this foreign war correspondent was your entire identity. So what were the immediate effects of losing your career?
I didn't know who I was anymore. I felt certainly completely emasculated. I was in the prime of my life, and I felt I'll never have a way to make a living. I'll never have a way to have a family, to move forward, to be anybody. And my identity was lost, and I didn't know who I was anymore.
So it took a while before you learned that it wasn't about what you did, but about who you were that really mattered.
It took quite a while, but ultimately, fortunately, I came to that realization.
It's Topical Currents. We're speaking with former NBC News war correspondent Brad Willis now, who is Bhavaram on today's Topical Currents. We do want to take a short break, and we'll come back and open the lines, open the phone lines, and take your email. Stay with us. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. It's 18 minutes after 1 o'clock. Bonnie Berman with you. And we're visiting with Bhavaram, formerly known as Brad Willis. He was an NBC reporter and foreign war correspondent for many years. And he's written Warrior Pose, How Yoga Literally Saved My Life. So, Bhava, let's go back now. You finally decided to get surgery. Is that correct? On your back.
I really had no choice. I was a wreck after that lowest vertebra. My back split wider open in the Philippines. And so I was medevaced out, brought back to California, had major, major back surgery, what's called a fusion laminectomy. And it failed. I was declared permanently disabled. And from this global life that, as we've been talking about, identified who I was, suddenly, I was in a body brace that went from my sternum down to my hips with a metal band running down my left leg, strapped to above my knee with a leather strap, and I could no longer sit up to eat a meal. I hobbled around with a cane, and I was given even heavier medications. Now I'm on Vicodin and Valium and Prozac and Ritalin, and I think I had a few other jars of pills. I can't even pronounce the names and didn't even know what they did.
Now, at some point, when was it that you had a child?
Well, I went like this for 4 years, okay. Getting darker and darker and getting bigger and bigger, Bonnie, because I continued my meat and potatoes foreign correspondence diet. And so I'm always loosening my brace because I'm just lying around on the couch or in a recliner all day long. Despite all that, 4 years into this, my only child, my little son, was born. And I thought, well, I do have an identity. I have something greater than my individual self to live for, and I really need to step it up here. And it gave me hope, and I just loved this child so much from the moment he was born. And 3 months into his beautiful little life, I got sick, and I couldn't get better, and I couldn't get better, and ultimately I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, metastasized throughout my lymphatic system. It had started in my throat from exposure to depleted uranium years earlier that was used by the Americans to pierce Iraqi tanks in the Persian Gulf War. Excuse me. And my doctors basically told me to write my will, that I would not live for 2 years. They added morphine to this arsenal of pharmaceutical medications that I had. And that was that. I got darker. If it was at all possible, I started just going into a deeper and deeper abyss, now filled with this incredible amount of guilt that I was going to leave this beautiful little child's life that I had just brought into the world.
Now, what treatment did you receive for this was a squamous cell cancer of the lymphatic system?
It was. It started in my tonsils. I still had my tonsils, and they cut my tonsils out, and I had a big tumor on the side of my neck that was in one of the lymphatic glands, and that was removed. I was given radiation that I've subsequently learned was not an appropriate protocol, and it just caused a whole host of other damage in my neck and my throat and my salivary glands, my teeth, and so forth. But even with that, there was no chemotherapy protocol, and you would have had to radiate my whole body to death to kill the cancer throughout my lymphatic system. So it was just a stopgap measure. And that's the only treatment that I had, along with being given heavier drugs.
What year was this?
This was in 1998.
Okay. And so what happened next?
Well, I took up this life where I became a master of self-pity and anger and fear and depression and anxiety. And I pushed everyone over time out of my life, except that little boy who sort of lived on the top of my body brace. And he was my joy. You know, I alienated his mother. I alienated everyone. And it's hard to admit that, but it's something that I've had to look at in my life. I didn't handle it well. I didn't handle it with courage. And just before the year 2000, just before Christmas, my little boy had just turned two. I was really dying. I maybe had a few months left. And he came to me. Finally, he got it, Bonnie. I could just see in his little face trembling. And he spoke three words that completely changed my life. He said, "Get up, Daddy." And it hit me in a place that I didn't even know that I had, a place deep in my chest. And for the next 3 weeks, as the new year unfolded, I thought, well, get up, Daddy, get up, Daddy. But how? I'm dying of cancer. I have a broken back, no career. I can't get up. So finally, with the help of my family and the agreement, I decided to detox cold turkey in a hospital off all the medications, hoping that one day someone would say, you know, your daddy died with dignity, and that's how he got up. He faced that darkness that had consumed him and all those drugs that had warped his soul, and he died with dignity, and that was his legacy to you. So I went into a hospital down here in the San Diego area. I detoxed cold turkey off of what now was 14 years of heavy narcotic medications.
Is that even safe to detox cold turkey?
Well, I can tell you as a former journalist that all of the demons in Dante's Inferno are real because they checked into my room with me. And they just tore at my flesh. And I was just in the darkness in there. The staff would come in and feed me sometimes, but after a while, I think I was so difficult that they didn't even come in anymore. And I crawled out of there dazed and confused, in scorching pain because I was off all these medications, with no plan, not knowing where I was going to turn next. And the hospital came to me and said they just started an experimental clinic, a mind-body clinic based on ancient Eastern healing modalities and modern Western holistic techniques. I didn't understand a thing. I just said, I'm in. Where do I sign? I took a hotel close by the hospital, and I started in the program the next day.
Now, Western medicine was all you knew, and you call yourself a jaded and cynical journalist. So how were you able to embrace this alternative and holistic medicine? What happened to you that you even were open to it?
Well, get up, Daddy was my mantra, and that gave me, you know, this urge to move forward, to heal, to whatever my potential might be for this little boy. But the very first day in this alternative hospital that the jaded cynical journalist would have poo-pooed, I did biofeedback, where they hook you up with electrodes to your heart rate, your brain waves, your skin temperature, and so forth. And they play you a guided visualization, like a meditation tape. And this soothing voice came on. And for the first time in my life, I think it gave me real permission to completely let go and relax. And by the end of this 20-minute visualization, all of my vital signs were changed in a positive direction. I could actually taste a different inner chemistry inside of my body. And it was my second aha, my second wake up. I then knew that I had a power to change my inner chemistry in my body, and that I had to take over whatever healing capacity that I had, no longer just let it happen to me and no longer play the victim. I went right back to my hotel. I had the concierge order the book that was written by this doctor who did that guided visualization, who's now a great friend of mine and wrote the foreword to Warrior Post, Dr. Emmett Miller, one of the founders of mind-body medicine in America. And I started reading this book, and the third chapter was written for me. It said, it's time for you to get over yourself, to stop wallowing in your self-pity, your insecurity, and your fear, and make a shift. And I started to do that. And I started to see glimmers of light at the very deepest reaches of the darkness of my inner cave. I started to think there might be some hope. And about a month into it, when I'm finally able to just walk the hallway without my cane, barely, they started me on therapeutic yoga. I, despite being a child of the 60s, I had never done yoga. I thought, I didn't have time, and it was all too silly to me. The minute I walked into this yoga room, I'd call it Epiphany Number Three, a voice inside of me just said, "This is it." My ego voice scoffed and laughed at that little thought, but this voice in my heart was louder. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even get my legs up the wall, but I just felt there was something there. I went back to my hotel. I ordered some of the most ancient texts of yoga, and I immediately realized it's not just about yoga postures. That's a very small, though vital portion of yoga. It's a complete ancient, time-tested mind, body, and spirit science of how to be a human being, of changing your life on all levels, your nutrition, your mental attitude, the situations that you put yourself in, aligning yourself with the natural rhythms of nature. So I really started to embrace that with everything that I had. And the clinic closed. The insurance companies wouldn't reimburse them because they called it alternative care. I knew three people in the program. Two of them that I knew went back to alcohol and drug addiction. My best friend in the program took his life out of despair. I went home and I built a yoga room in my house in Coronado. And as you said in the introduction, I spent 12 hours a day in there often, only coming out to be with my little boy, get him to preschool, back in my cave, get him down for a nap, back in my cave. And it was a few hours of very, very beginning yoga postures, but much more breath work, meditation. I completely changed my diet from meat and potatoes, Western diet, to organic veganism. I called it my organic chemotherapy. Yoga also involves ancient purifications, and I did a host of ancient physical purifications to purify my body, including long fasting. So I took 80 pounds off of my body. And I also started to cultivate gratitude and compassion and loving kindness and forgiveness and replacing self-pity and anger and fear. And I think I took about 1,000 pounds off my emotional body during that process.
It's pretty amazing that with the cancer, which is now, I suppose it's still active as you're going through this, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and the broken back, that you were able to do the yoga.
Well, I was able to breathe and meditate, and the postures that I did were very, very beginning. And I was very stiff. I had always been stiff, but I would just relax into them, and I would realize the more I relaxed, the more I would stretch and open, and the more I would stretch and open, the more I would feel pain leave my body. And the deeper I breathed, the more I would oxygenate, and tissue repair was slowly happening. And I could feel myself becoming empowered psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually, as well as physically. And this went hand in hand with the dietary change and the mental shift. And, 2 years into this journey, I suddenly realized that I was healed and whole. Again, I was 80 pounds lighter. I could now put both legs behind my head, things I could have never done even in my prime. And I had a vibrancy and a youth inside of my body that I don't think I felt when I was 30 years old. And everything had changed. And I realized that I would devote the rest of my life to sharing that we all have this inner power inside of us, no matter what obstacles that we might be facing, to heal to our maximum potential, to turn those obstacles into opportunities for personal growth, as difficult and unwanted as it might be, to find out who we truly are on the inner level, and to ultimately, from that place of awareness, to manifest our fullest potential. And if someone as broken and dark as I could do this, anyone listening today, don't tell yourself that you can't, because I've come to learn that everybody has that inherent power. I've remarried. My wife and I have founded Deep Yoga. My son is 16, and we've had the privilege of working now with thousands of students and clients, and I've seen so many people perform what we might call miracles in their lives just by purifying and harmonizing and accepting and being willing to change aspects of their life that aren't serving them. I've seen people heal from amazing things. Not everybody. And it depends on the level of illness we're facing and the level of self-discipline that we're willing to reach down and muster, because we all have it, even if we tell ourselves we don't. But through this mind-body-spirit medicine, we can take back our physical and mental health and be vibrant again. And I've seen this over and over and over again, which is why I now have devoted my life to it. And it's why I wrote Warrior Pose.
Why? What did the doctors, now, did you go into remission from the cancer?
Well, you know, I didn't go back to the doctors for years. And I only went back as I was writing Warrior Pose. And I went back to see the original oncologist, very good man that I had dealt with. And my file was, you know, placed in the file of people who are no longer on the earth. And they didn't recognize me at first because I was 80 pounds lighter, no dark circles under my eyes, and, you know, I was vibrant. And I explained the whole thing to him, and his remark was, well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it, because it's clearly worked.
Mm. We're speaking with Bava Ram, formerly Brad Willis. He was a former NBC reporter and foreign war correspondent. If you want to join in the conversation, the number is 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-9576. Or you can email radio@WLRN.org. radio@WLRN.org if you'd like to speak to Brad Willis, now Bava Ram. How did you stay focused on this journey in spite of the obstacles? What was the most difficult thing for you to overcome? Was it the ego? Was it the pain? What was it?
I think ultimately I had to look back at how dark I had become and how many people I had alienated in the process. And I had to own that. And that was more difficult than, you know, my own emotional darkness or my physical pain. There were many times that I really wanted to give up. I didn't know if it was all going to really work out. And I would just think of that little boy who I loved so much, and I would use that mantra, get up, daddy. And every time I said it to myself, it would just reinvigorate me, and I felt recommitted to this new journey that I had chosen. And so I just pushed forward. And one of the things I learned very, very early on in the science of yoga is that it's important to detach ourselves from the outcome, because that's when the ego gets in the way and says, I want a quick fix now. Where's the proof? I want it all now. And we get impatient, and that impedes our progress. So every day I just gave it up to my sense of higher power. I gave it up to my sense of the divine, of what we call God. And I just said, I'm going to do the best that I can. I'm going to seek to purify myself on every level. And whatever the outcome is, I'm just going to receive it with gratitude.
It's a pretty amazing thing. You say that this broken back, the failed surgery, the stage 4 cancer, they're the greatest things that ever happened to you in your life. And you still feel that way.
I really do. They made me a better human being. They gave me insight into what is really important about being alive. And it's not our externalized career. It's how we show up, how we honor all of life, all of humankind, and Mother Earth. It's how we walk through the journey of our life, how we orient ourselves towards it. And it made me a much better person, because I no longer am controlled by those old negative impulses and by that headstrong, push-forward attitude. And I think I've become a much softer person. I have to practice every day, and I still do. I used to get up at 3 in the morning. I don't anymore. But I do get up before sunrise, and I do a gentle practice. And every morning I remember that I'm putting it all in the hands of my sense of higher power. And I'm just going to do the best that I can each day to serve others and to help carry this beautiful wisdom of yoga forward as best as I'm able to.
Let me ask you, Bhava, as an investigative journalist, if you were still doing that today, if you were still an investigative reporter and you heard a story like yours, would you have trusted it?
Well, I was so cynical. I would have taken a closer look at it. But we now know that there's a tremendous body of evidence that proves that this type of mind-body-spirit science works. Dr. Dean Ornish has shown through control groups that people overcome advanced heart disease through proper whole food, plant-based nutrition, yoga, meditation, and breathing. We've seen it. I've worked now with major teaching hospitals who have oncology departments who are embracing integrative medicine now as a way of dealing with cancer and other long-term diseases more naturally, and seeking more a healing than just palliation and a masking of symptoms. We have seen how this works for obesity and diabetes mm-hmm. and stress-related conditions. And the science is there. It's right. No longer just an anecdotal story. We have seen, and it's been proven time and time again, modern science now knows that stress creates too much adrenaline and cortisol in our bodies, which causes us to make bad decisions usually, and seek alcohol and drugs and other externalized fixes that aren't really fixes for the stress that we're feeling. It diminishes our immune system as well and our capacity to metabolize the nutrients from whatever type of diet we're eating. We now know that deep relaxation and a more meditative awareness create different inner chemicals in our body, like oxytocin and anandamide and serotonin, that are associated with homeostasis, with the recalibration of all of our organs, that they enhance the immune system and our capacity to metabolize the nutrients of our food. So we know all of these things. It's a proven science now, even though there still is resistance, you know, in certain mainstream medical communities to this science. And there's a big pushback too, because, you know, big pharma likes to sell medications, right. And you can't put meditation and a natural diet into a pill jar and make a few billion dollars a year from it.
And does insurance cover these modalities?
It's starting to.
Okay.
Not a lot. But my goodness, isn't it worth it to finally come to a place of true healing?
Let's take some calls. We have Camille in Coconut Grove who wants to share her experience. Good afternoon, Camille. Welcome to Topical Currents.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment. I'm just so impressed with your explanations. I am this Good Friday, a 17-year survivor of lung cancer, and here I am. It's a life-changing event, and while I had to wait 10 days for surgery, I came back home and began to read and to meditate and to start to think alternatively about where I was and what I was doing and what would happen. And here I am 17 years later. You seem to have found your purpose. I'm still looking for mine. I'm 72.
Congratulations, Camille. That's fantastic.
You.
And your thank purpose you. Will find you.
Oh, just, yes. It's just, I think I'm mentoring. I'm a nurse, and so I'm so happy to see alternatives, more and more integrative practices coming around, although we still overprescribe drugs terribly for every little ill. So we have to just keep advocating, I think.
Yes.
Wow.
Thank you, Camille. Bhava, did you want to say more?
Well, I think she learned also that adversity is often the greatest blessing in the world. You know, America became the greatest generation after the Great Depression. It's usually we rise up after terrible, terrible events in our lives, and we find something deep inside of ourselves that's much greater than what we thought. In my book starts out with this little boy who's 11 or 12 years old, burned all over his body with napalm from a Soviet jet. Burned like that with no food, he walked for 21 days out of the mountains to that refugee camp. He found that inner power out of that horrible circumstance. And we know of stories of people without much strength, you know, lifting something off a wounded child, people running into a burning building to rescue somebody in when there is a fire. We all have this power, but we have largely been disenfranchised from it, especially by a system that says, just take some pills, just palliate your symptoms and go on with life. You have no inner power to heal yourself. Just here's some medication for you.
Okay, thank you so much for calling, Camille.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Bava, Paul wants to know, he emailed, and I actually was going to follow up a little bit more with this, but he wants to know, he says he's happy for your remission, but did the doctor perform any tests to answer whether the cancer had shrunk? Is there any more of a scientific answer on the cancer status?
Well, I don't have any cancer in my body. It's been, I was diagnosed in 1998. So if, you know, we do the math, it's been 16 years. And after 5 years, you are considered in full remission and a survivor. I'm 16 years out. I have no symptomology. I don't have any tumors in my body and my blood tests are clean. So I'm cancer free.
Okay. Let's see if we can get one more call in before the break. This is Ken. Ken is in Miami. Hi, Ken. Welcome to Topical Currents.
Hey there. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the call. It's a very inspirational story. I've gone through something very similar, and the point I wanted to bring up is about how in this country with the insurance, and we all tend to lean on that, and sometimes when you feel something is such a great asset, like we think we all need health insurance. It was only because I lost my health insurance that I had, there was nothing else to turn to except deep breathing and cleansing my body. I did away with all my foods, just was down to eating water, sardines, olives, pecans, just simple whole foods straight up. I've been surviving human parvovirus B19, a chronic condition that causes mind-bending pain that'll make you want to put a gun to your head. I was on morphine and Percocet, and only with big doses of that did I appear normal and could function at any kind of level. You know, I have children to take care of. It was terrible to watch all this happen, but 6 years out, you know, very limited diet. You got to watch the foods. There's just too many poisons in the foods that we eat here, and you know, having by being able to go to the doctor's office and get a pill. You know, they just want to, they hear, oh, you have a headache, here's your pill. You have knee ache, here's the pill.
Right.
And you're not curing it. This system here treats symptoms. And they're getting billions and billions of dollars to just keep treating symptoms. So therefore, it's better off for them that we really don't find cures to any of these illnesses.
Bava, would you like to comment?
Well, thank you for sharing that, Ken. And I completely agree with your analysis of the current situation. You know, it's important to have health care if we have a catastrophic event or accident in our lives, but real health care is taking care of our own health, is standing up and taking back our birthright of vibrant health and balance in our lives. And we have to do that by not eating the garbage that's put out there in fast food restaurants and in packages and boxes filled with chemicals, by no longer overstressing ourselves in our lives as well. We now know that if pure whole food plant-based diet is one of the greatest cures for the greatest killers in America, heart disease, cancer, and stroke, diabetes, and obesity. All of these are directly related to the Western diet and stress and can be turned around through a mindful diet along with a mindful lifestyle such as the science of yoga that helps us alleviate the stress in our lives.
Okay, yeah. Ken, thank
Absolutely.
You so much for
thank
calling.
You. Thank you so much. Good luck.
Thank you. It's Topical Currents, and we are speaking to Brad Willis, formerly Brad Willis, now Bava Ram, about his book, Warrior Pose, How Yoga Literally Saved My Life. Another short break, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with you. We're speaking with Brad Willis, now known as Bava Ram. He is a foreign NBC News war correspondent, and he's also an author. His latest book is a memoir. It's Warrior Pose, a correspondence memoir, How Yoga Literally Saved my life. And I think we should go right back to the phones because we have lots of calls. And let's talk to Nancy. Nancy is in Coconut Grove. Welcome, Nancy. Nancy?
Yes.
Hi. Welcome to Topical Currents.
Thank you. My name is Nancy Ryerson. I'm a Western-trained anesthesiologist, and I became interested in Eastern tradition, traditional medicine, traditional Chinese medicine in the late 80s. Since then, I've gone on to become a practicing energy medicine healer. And now that I practice both, what I'm finding is that as Western tradition or as Western scientific studies come closer to looking at Eastern traditions and looking at alternative medicines, what we're finding is that really the bridge between both of these forms of medicine is through energy work. As an energy medicine healer, I'm able to sense the energy of the body and also with the permission of the soul of the other or of the patient, actually begin to facilitate that healing. And so I'm really looking forward to that day when Western physicians will embrace energy healing and people will begin to live the lifestyle that Baba Ram is telling us. And you know, so that we do prevent many of the diseases that we bring upon ourselves. But I'm very excited to be one of those bridges between Western medicine, Eastern medicine, and bridge it through energetic healing.
Okay, and Nancy, you're an MD.
Yes, I am.
Okay, Bhavan, you want to comment?
Well, it's great to see this path that you have taken, Nancy. And as you probably know well, quantum physics now has determined that we are all basically energy, and that the way that energy moves is either healing or it's harming us. And so the work that you're doing is so important, because what is stress other than very negative staccato energy that courses through our body and causes a whole host of problems? And when you have that capacity to help someone come into a more balanced energetic state, it seems to me axiomatic that the healing capacity is going to be greatly enhanced.
Well, and in the practice of energy medicine, the goal is to have the patient or the person that you're actually working with begin to see their own places where their energy is not flowing and where they're stuck, and those issues, as we call them, issues in the tissues are being held. And it's in looking at those, as you have described that you did, but if we can look at those issues and see them and begin to clear them in our energy vortices, also known as chakras, then we can begin to address, or we can look at our lives and actually heal ourselves. I find that my practice incorporates both, and many people are shocked, but in fact it's a very ancient form of healing and one that's been essentially covered over for years. Mm-hmm. But now that it's perhaps coming back into vogue, or people are beginning to understand it better, there is this bridge, and I would only encourage people in the Western tradition of medicine to be open to the fact that it is at the energetic level that all healing, one, takes place, because that's the level at which the disturbances in the energy are occurring.
Okay, Nancy, thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bhava, tell us more about deep yoga.
Well, my new wife and I, we've been together 10 years now, Laura Plum. We started deep yoga as a way of bringing yoga really in its fullness. We anchor back into the ancient, ancient texts like the Bhagavad Gita, the Vedas, the Upanishads, the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, and we make it relevant for these modern times because it is so relevant. So our classes and our trainings, which we call Mastery of Life, are all oriented towards the fact that the guru is really you. That you have that power inside of you to bring forth wellness and vibrancy and full expression of yourself. And the more that you anchor into these ancient sciences and apply them lovingly and tenderly into your life, the more that that capacity will completely unfold. You know, one of the interesting things from the ancient texts is that it's our thoughts that create our actions, and our actions give us our habits. From that arises our character, and from our character we get our destiny. So that's why yoga often begins with changing our thoughts, because the minute we change the agreements we have about what the world is like and who we are in this world and what capacity we have, the whole universe rises up to support that. It will rise up to support your negativity or your positiveness. The more that we anchor into positive thoughts, the more we begin to change our actions and form new habits, and ultimately we create a different destiny in the process.
Let's take one more call. Maria in Miami. Hi, Maria.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome.
I won't tell you, thank you. It's really very, very thank you. I just love you, Bonnie. I love everything what you do. Just you have some kind of power. I love it.
And
and maybe you can help us organize any group. Where we start, young people, 66 plus, where we start to change our thoughts, to change our behavior, some support from any societies, because nobody wants you to like heal, so you know, use no more doctors, you no more victim. How to start all this, please?
That's a good question.
You go, what?
That's a good question, Maria. We're coming close to the end of the program. So where can Maria start?
Well, I suggest, Maria, that you start by reading Warrior Pose. And I don't mean to plug my book, but start by letting yourself get inspired and be the change that you seek in the world, as Mahatma Gandhi said. Start by changing yourself, and others will notice that change, and before you know it, you'll have a group practicing all together, and it will spread out from there. Because when people see someone who really has healed and become whole, they're naturally attracted in that direction.
Okay, Maria. Well,
where we can get the book?
I'm sure any bookstore. I'll give out the websites, and we'll have a link to the book on topical on WLRN.org.
How you spell his new name? The book go by his new name?
Well, I think it goes by both names. His new name is Bhavaram.
Wow, you're very quick and brilliant.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We really need it. Thank you. God bless. And God bless America.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, that's about all the time we have for calls today. We've been speaking with Brad Willis, formerly Brad Willis. He is now goes by the name Bhavaram. He's a former NBC News war correspondent, reported from all over, Middle East, Asia, Africa, Latin America. He's the recipient of the prestigious Alfred I. DuPont Award, and he's also an author. This is one of several books that he's written. This book is entitled Warrior Pose, and a correspondence memoir, How Yoga Literally Saved My Life. And Bhava, we'll have links. I see you have two of them. DeepYoga.com is one of your links.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is Bhavaram.com. We'll have links to that and a link to your book on our website, WLRN.org. And just one quick question. We have just a couple of seconds. A movie's being made about this book?
Supposed to be out in 2016. We just signed the contract, an independent, but a full-length feature film. So we'll see how that goes, and maybe it'll help us spread word even more, Bonnie.
And who's playing you?
I don't know. I think Danny DeVito. What do you think?
I don't know.
I don't know about that yet.
Well, Bhava, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And all the best to you.
You too.
And that wraps up today's Topical Currents. Thanks so much for joining us. Our producer is Richard Ives with technical direction from online producer Paul Leary. We have free audio archives and downloads from our website, WLRN.org, and links to today's book and websites, and more information at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow's program looks at what's often termed the epidemic of depression with psychologist Jonathan Rottenberg. And he has an evolutionary explanation of the condition. Bonnie Berman wishing you a very happy Passover, a great day, and please stay tuned for Here and Now from NPR News.